Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, May 4th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 1, chapter 1 in Bill's story, the second paragraph that begins with "We landed in England," and we're reading through two paragraphs today, ending in "Ominous warning, which I failed to heed." We'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Deb M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Alice A. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Mary B., Tricia D., and Barbara W. The share ID for Tuesday, May 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,916. That's 18916. And this morning's Wednesday, May 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,922, 18922. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Deb M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Hi, this is Deborah M. from Baltimore, compulsive overeater, recovered today. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah M. And Alice A., would you read the 12 traditions, please? Star 1 to unmute, Alice.
Sorry, this is Alice A., recovering compulsive eater in Alabama. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media as communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve. And I pass.
Thank you, Alice A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in chapter 1, Bill's story. We're on page 1, the second paragraph that begins with "We landed in England." And we're reading through two paragraphs ending in "ominous warning," which I failed to heed. And good morning, Mary B., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Oh, this is Mary B., grateful, recovered, but not cured, compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm on Bill's story, chapter 1, page 1, second paragraph. We landed in England. I visited Winchester Cathedral. Much moved, I wandered outside. My attention was caught by a doggerel on an old tombstone. Here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot, whether he dies by musket or by pot. Ominous warning, which I failed to heed. I looked up the definition of ominous. It's threatening, foretelling, prophetic, being or exhibiting an omen. And the Hampshire Grenadier, just for you historians, is Thomas Betcher. He died of alcoholism. I've never visited Winchester Cathedral, but I sure would like to. But I like what he says here in these two little words, much moved. Life before program, I had moments of much moved where I felt the presence of God. They were very small. They were very fleeting. And I did not know that they were prophetic of what was to come in my life later on. They were always crowded over by the food, work, obsession. I can't think of the word right now that I want to say. Always wanting more. always worshiping and venerating other things, people, places, things in my life. But I'm grateful today that that is not the case. Things have changed dramatically for me. And I always have to laugh. He says, ominous warning, which I failed to heed. Well, I'm not sure of the time here, but he just barely started drinking. I apologize. I don't know when the time thing was, but he had just barely started drinking. He hadn't even gotten into what we're going to be reading further on in his story. And I love Bill's story. It's one of the best first step stories I've ever heard. I wish I had time to sit and tell you my first step story. It's pretty gruesome. But I do relate to Bill Wilson on so many levels. The way Bill Wilson drank is the way I overate, to oblivion. I didn't want to feel. I didn't want to be responsible. I didn't even want to partake in life. I was suicidal for many, many years. But God, thank God, has removed those things from me. And today I can function without the food, which is a miracle. I can help others. I can be of service. I can be a part of life at last. And yes, it is pretty exciting. The life I lead today is far, far greater than anything I could have ever imagined. Almost 5 years ago when I came to a vision for you. I'm so grateful in my heart, hardest of hearts, because I was one of those miserable, stubborn, selfish, self-centered, egotistical, I want everybody and everything to go my way and just let me eat and leave me alone with the food. I isolated. I hid wrappers. I lied. I cheated, I dieted, I starved, I threw up, I restricted, I did all those things with food. For what reason? What the book tells me is because I have a disease, an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. There it is, point blank. My only hope is a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience. That's the only hope I have. Thank you for allowing me to share and be of service, and I can't wait to hear everybody else to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary B. from Arizona. Okay, we are on page one, the second paragraph. We landed in England. We're reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending in ominous warning. And I think someone's unmuted, so if you can press star one to mute your phone, there's a lot of paper shuffling. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs who have not shared in the past 3 days?
Carrie G.
All right, Dr. Okay, I heard Carrie. And who came in after Carrie?
Laura W.
Laura W.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Robin,
okay, so if Robin P. And if you could all check that you have star one to mute your phone, because there's a lot of rustling in the background. So we'll start with that lineup. I have Carrie, Laura W., Donna B., and Robin P. So if you're not Carrie, if you could press star one to mute. And Carrie, was it Carrie B., as in boy?
Hi, no, Carrie G., as in girl, Colorado.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. Thank you.
Hi. Gratefully living this daily life in Colorado. Yes, recovered. Thank you, God. The much moved, it brings me to this word we find a lot in later chapters into action, inspiration. I feel like Bill here is getting this intuitive nudge. And I like the prayer on page 86. It says, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. And I feel like God is really moving for Bill here, but, you know, Bill is deep into the early stages, and it takes what it takes. This disease had to beat me up to the point where I really wanted a higher power to be giving me these nudges, these inspirations. And I love the definition of inspiration. It's a divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify them to receive and communicate sacred revelations. And that's exactly what Bill's higher power did for him when Bill thought to write this book. And it's absolutely changed my whole attitude and outlook upon life. And I do thank God get to relax and take it easy today and not struggle, so that when I see those God winks, those little nudges in my life, I listen, because God speaks very quietly and my disease speaks very loudly. But thank you, God, that I've learned to just pause and pray and invite a new relationship with my higher power. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie G. in Colorado. Laura W., you're up, followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Laura.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for your service. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I really liked listening to the both meetings this morning. I've learned a lot. I was never a good student in history, and I find it very interesting now that I'm really enjoying listening to the history of the story and finding out who these people were, like Thomas Fetcher, and about, you know, the Winchester Cathedral. What struck me was, you know, Bill refers back to that cathedral on page 10 when he talks about, he says, that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back to me. He had many God moments, but he failed to heed them, as it says. Ominous warning. You know, this is the denial of the disease. Because I can share with you, I'm sure you can think about your own denial, but I can share with you that I lived in denial and I failed to heed the ominous warnings of the disease. I had physical warnings. My hair was falling out. My period stopped for many years. My teeth broke. I had hair growing on my body to protect myself from being so cold all the time. You know, I was dizzy. I passed out. You know, if those aren't warnings that something's not right with your body, then I don't know what is, but I fail to heed them. Why? Because I have a mental addiction. I have a physical allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And that obsession of the mind is stronger for me than anything else. Because, you know, I could walk around being a dry drunk for many years and being on a quote-unquote food plan, and all that is another diet, and that mental obsession is not addressed at all. You know, Bill uses alcohol as something to have a relationship with, and he refers to that in the paragraph below. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. Well, when I'm lonely now, thank you, God, I don't turn to my addiction. I turn to my higher power. I turn to my family. I turn to my friends. I turn to my God squad. And that's not something that just happened right away. It happened through the work of the 12 steps, the practice, the implementation, the work of the steps, the work of surrender. And, you know, willingness is an inside job, and Bill's not really there yet right now. You know, he recognizes it, but he's ignoring it. And I can really identify, and that's what this whole chapter is about. Did I eat or restrict like Bill drank? Did I act like Bill acted? And did I think like how Bill thought? And yes, yes, and yes. You know, this whole story is about the progression of the disease. And I'm grateful to be here today, living in recovery one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share, I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. And Donna B., you are up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And the lens in which I'm looking at this has, I think, more to do with what's on my mind than necessarily that this is the appropriate passage in which to share it. But I'm thinking about my role as a sponsor. And I had been in OA for 17 years before I became entirely abstinent from all my alcoholic food ingredients and all of my alcoholic food behaviors particularly the volume eating of quote unquote abstinent food. So when I sponsor someone and we go through their food and weight history and we look at, you know, their potential alcoholic food ingredients and alcoholic food behaviors, the suggestions that I make are in regards to where I am in my recovery today. But when I'm working with a newcomer, I don't know if it's fair to expect them to begin where I am today. So, for example, I recently worked with a woman who, in her own words, stated that she was addicted to coffee and used it as a tool to restrict. She was willing to give up all the other alcoholic food ingredients, but just not the coffee. No way, not giving up the coffee. And because of the experience that I have today and understanding that a person needs to be entirely abstinent to work the steps, I said that I would be unable to sponsor her if she held on to the coffee. And I honestly have no idea if that was the right thing or not. And so I can give ominous warnings to the people that I work with. I can tell them my story just as Bill has told me his story. And often the people I work with nod their heads, they identify in with my story. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're willing to do today what I'm willing to do today after the journey that I went through within the rooms. So I don't, I'm not ending with a conclusion, but more of an unknown, a humility that I don't really know. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. in Colorado. And Robin, before you go, I just want to remind everyone we're on page one, the second paragraph. Beginning with "We landed in England," we're reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending in an ominous warning, which I failed to heed. And I'll be taking some more names for shares after Robin. So go ahead, please, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. The ominous warning, which I failed to heed, you know, and, you know, it's so funny, too, reading that a good soldier has never forgot whether he diets by musket or by pot. Really, it's not really a service to any, if someone believes in war, which I actually don't, but, you know, they're not being of service to their fellow soldiers if they die by pot, so it is an ironic tombstone. But it is an ominous warnings, you know, and to be abstinent. And, you know, I just think that, you know, and I'm so grateful that I happen to be a gluten-free vegan. I don't eat poison. Everyone has their own abstinence, you know, that works for them. And I do drink coffee. I just know that I focus on what works for me, and I don't eat the poisons that didn't work for me. And I'm so grateful to be out for 6 years. And, you know, it's one day at a time. And I've had so many warnings in the past. And it took what it took till I finally said, I am done. And when my sponsor asked me, are you willing to go to any length to recover? I said, yes. I didn't even have to think about it. I knew I was done. And, you know, that's what the only thing that I ask sponsees now is, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And it's... For me, it's just, you know, are you willing to reach out on the phone instead of reaching out to the food? Are you willing to go to, I think it's really helpful to get a God squad together and make 3 calls a day at the beginning. And I also really believe in going to a meeting a day if you can at the very beginning of the first 90 days, just so that you get a team. And you get other voices in your head that overcome the disease voices. And, you know, I had so many warnings, and there were so many times when, are you willing to do this? Oh, no, that's the one thing I'm not willing to do. And, you know, and it's funny how now I'm willing to go to any lengths to recover. If you know, whatever it is. And I'm so grateful that I do 10 steps. I'm so grateful that I live in 10, 11, and 12 today, and I'm of service. And it just took what it took. And I had so many ominous warnings, and now I just get to tune into God and be a blessing to God and my fellows one day at a time. God bless you all with a very blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much, Kathleen.
And thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on page 1, paragraph 2, that begins with "We landed in England," through 2 paragraphs and an ominous warning, which I failed to heed, I'm ready for your name.
This is Gaylene. I'd like to share.
Okay, Gaylene. Anyone else?
Bonnie from Minnesota.
Okay, who from Minnesota?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. And who came in before Bonnie B?
Jody E.
Aaliyah.
Jody E. and Aaliyah. Anyone else?
Lucy O.
Lucy O.
Melinda.
Tom
Melinda.
L.
Okay. Okay, let's stop there. Was that a Tom at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see if we can get to all of you. So, and you'll have to give me your initials because I didn't catch them all. I have Gaylene, Jody E., Bonnie B., Aaliyah, Lucy O., Melinda, and Tom L. So go ahead, please, Gaylene, and the first initial of your last name. Star one to unmute, Gaylene.
This is Gaylene. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thanks, Gaylene. And what's the first initial of your last name, Gaylene?
Gaylene B, and I'm calling from Idaho.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gaylene. Go ahead.
Thank you. I apologize for that. I thought I was unmuted. I have received an ominous warning, which I failed to heed, and I didn't realize that Bill had experienced that also until we read this morning. It hasn't stood out to me before. I had a lot of really good abstinence under my belt. Last year, I was trying to figure out what my alcoholic foods were. I was abstaining from. I was gently moving towards a healthy body weight. In November, my children were all coming to our winter home in Arizona for Thanksgiving. And prior to them coming, my higher power warned me 3 times throughout the weeks before they came that I was at a turning point in my recovery. And I can realize now what I was being told was I was close to being recovered. And I did not heed that warning, and I really underestimated the power of this disease. And I ate everything I made for my children, rested on my laurels, thought for sure as soon as they leave, in 5 or 6 days, I'll be right back on, and I could do this, and look how good I look. And I have been unable to get back what I had. I can get it for a day or two or three, and then it's gone again. And it has really been a struggle. And I think part of my problem is that I also underestimate the power of my higher power to recover me, to reclaim me if I will trust and go back to the things that I know work instead of going to the food. At the same time, I'm doing a lot of inner child work, and I seem to have a lot of triggers coming up, and can see how had I heeded that ominous warning, I would be in a lot better shape to handle these triggers that are coming up with my father at this time. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful for your service, grateful for your stories, and it gives me comfort to hear you say it takes what it takes, and I can just keep going and have some compassion for myself that I do have a disease, and if I stay in the rooms and keep working the steps in the program, I can get back what I had and continue moving forward. Thanks so much for this program and for your shares today, I pass.
Thank you, Gaylene B. in Idaho. And Jody E., you're up, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., recovered in California. Very grateful. Whenever I read this paragraph, I'm reminded of a time when I was about the same age that Bill is here, my early 20s. And my disease had really gotten going by then. And I was in a restaurant in Florida. And I saw a plaque on the wall of this restaurant. It was one of those fish, deep fried fish and hush puppy places. And the sign on the wall said, "Eat to live, don't live to eat." And I just had this sinking feeling because I was definitely living to eat already. And it was an ominous warning, which I failed to heed for quite some time. And then when I eventually got into Overeaters Anonymous several years later, I still got lots of ominous warnings and still failed to heed them. It took me quite a while to get entirely abstinent. And even when I did get entirely abstinent, I failed to heed other ominous warnings like, work the steps or you will relapse. And to this day, I will get ominous warnings if I am not doing what I need to do. What if I'm not working these steps regularly, daily, living in steps 10, 11, and 12? I don't get them like I did, but I can still get them. I am not cured. I have to stay in the solution. I have to stay spiritually fit to be on the beam, to be in that spiritual place where I can be of service to others, where I have something to offer. And to do that, I have to really work all 12 steps, 1, 2, and 3, 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And that is my hope and prayer to do today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. And Bonnie B. in Minnesota, you're up, followed by Aaliyah. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Oh, my word. Our shares this morning have been amazing. So when I think of, most of us get stuck on that very first portion, that ominous warning. Coming into program 8 years ago, I just didn't see, right? I mean, you can't see what you can't see. You don't know what you don't know. And people would say it takes what it takes, and it would drive me crazy when people would say that, because I would think, what else? What is it? But the deal is that, my God wants to reveal to me those things that block me from him. And the reason he wants to reveal those things to me is so that I can be of maximum service to him and other people. So because of his kindness, he does give me all of these warnings and continues to give me warnings, right? I mean, recovered by the grace of God for about 16 months now, but continues to give me warnings. And it's the still small voice on the inside when the food is down that gives me that question mark. It's like when I sponsor people, I will say, what's your abstinence list? I don't know, but God will show you. And I guarantee you, if you write down everything you binged on, everything you want to negotiate over, he'll pretty much round it out for you. That's that thing on the inside. He wants to have that personal relationship with me. And so he gives us these warnings, and it's a beautiful thing when we heed them. But because of the disease, at times I did not. 8 years, 15 months abstinent, a lot of warnings were given to me. And many kind people in this program spoke into my life, and I did not heed them. Sometimes on purpose and sometimes because I really didn't get it. And so it's okay to not get it. It's okay to be where you're at. The guarantee is that if we continue to come back, God will continue to reveal, and he'll continue to show us. And as he does that, all these other things fall away. And as long as we live in these steps, which is always about being of maximum service to him and other people, always, that is the end all. He will keep us safe and protected. And so, so grateful for the gift of this program. So grateful for each of you. And with that, I'll pass. Once again, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. And Aaliyah, you are up, followed by Lucy O. And I need your first initial of your last name and the state you're calling from, Aaliyah.
Good morning. This is Aaliyah S., recovered in California. Thank you all for your service. I wasn't planning on sharing this morning, and I was walking the dog, and I heard that ominous warning, which I failed to heed, and I realized it's May 4th, and what a warning I had a year ago. During one of my relapses previously, I tried this sad diet, and I didn't lose any weight, and I ended up having a doctor's visit. And they said, wow, you have really high cholesterol. And so I went back to my nutritionist and got a lowering cholesterol plan from my nutritionist, and I couldn't follow it. And 1 year ago today, my stepdad, who was the general manager of Invest Enterprise, who was getting ready to retire, who had diabetes, but just, you know, had this thing which no one talked about in our family, but he would go to bed tonight and he wouldn't wake up tomorrow. And he had just turned 65 the day before. And, you know, knowing that I had high cholesterol and that I was young and I had a whole life ahead of me, that I was a single mom of three kids, it was an ominous warning. And fear sobered me for a bit. You know, I think I was able to get abstinent for like 6 days, and then the funeral came, or, you know, and I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle being abstinent without a solution, without a program, without working the steps. And I picked up, and I would not get sober again until October 5th. You know, it was a long, long summer with a lot of weight gain, with a lot of pain, with a lot of unmanageability. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I knew that my stepdad had died from this disease, and it wasn't enough. Fear wasn't enough to get me back on track, you know, or so I thought, back on track. You know, until that day that food beat me into a state of reasonableness, the pain, unmanageability, and I surrendered all. And I was willing to go to any lengths. And that meant, like, when the thought came, what was I willing to do? You know, was I willing to run to God, to the solution, to the tools, you know, that was building the scaffolding while I was creating this arch to freedom? You know, was I willing to go to a meeting with my camera on? Was I willing to be of service to my children? You know, was I willing to make those calls and listen to that podcast and just take simple directions for the destruction of self-centeredness and my self-will? Like, was I willing? You know, and I had to be, because I was dying. You know, I was dying like that baby in the pool that was drowning. I was willing to go to any lengths to save her, because this disease is deadly. And I know that today, but, you know, knowing that then did nothing. I had to truly surrender myself. Well, and I'm so grateful that I did. Tomorrow, all 7 months, praise God. You know, I'm recovered today by the grace of God and all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaliyah S. in California. And Lucy, you are up, followed by Melinda. Go ahead, Lucy.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. Lucy O., South Dakota, recovering compulsive overeater. I don't talk much at meetings, so bear with me, but I'm fairly new again. I've been in and out of program since 1994, probably, and my recovery has progressed now to the point that I have a sponsor I'm working with that is giving me another ominous warning that is something I didn't even realize I was doing, about using beverages to get from one meal to the next, even though they may be abstinent beverages in my mind. I'm still doing a compulsive behavior, and it makes me angry at the disease that I can't even have those
things, but I do see how the behavior keeps me in the disease. So I'm going to really work on that, but I'm grateful to have been away from my alcoholic foods. Mostly, I guess you'd say, if I'm honest, for about 2 months. So I think that's all I've got to share today, but I've had many ominous warnings in my life, health-related, parents in the disease, relapses. So here I am again. Thanks for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lucy O. in South Dakota. And Melinda, you are up, followed by Tom L. And Melinda, what is the first initial of your last name?
Hi, thank you. Melinda H. as in horse. Thank you all for being here. I have been like 1 foot in and 1 foot out of the program for years. I have lots of ominous warnings. My blood work is out of order. I'm at risk for a stroke. My blood pressure has gotten high enough to have to be treated. But, you know, since I'm an addict, none of those things are sufficient to keep me out of my addiction, the food, the addictive foods and beverages. And so I'm making a commitment to share at more meetings and to do more outreach, because those are the two things that I've really, really been lacking in doing, you know, connection with other people. And, you know, I've made up all kinds of excuses, and I've, you know, felt like since I'm an animal lover, I'll just stay with my animals and I don't need people and all those kinds of things. And yeah, I mean, it's just so obvious my way doesn't work. So, again, so glad you are here. I'm also checking into another 12-step program, because I've obviously got dysfunctional family issues. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Melinda H. And Tom L., you are up. And we'll be able to take one more person after Tom. So if you'd like to share after Tom, be ready. So go ahead, please, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tom, compulsive overeater, and shout out to all those caffeine and diet soda junkies who are tortured by those things, which I am. I'm going to focus on the much moved clause. Why was Bill much moved? Well, he was heading towards a war which killed millions of people in horrible ways and made you suffer before you died. So that overwhelmed him. He's a very competent man, obviously. He spends a lot of time with dictionaries and thesauruses. And he's, you know, obviously a salesman. He's got great charisma, tall man. But a machine gun is going to kill him anyway. So he was much moved because he was overwhelmed. Now, I have my first time I was much moved and had an intimation of God. I had ridden a motorcycle way up north from a big city, was camped on a hilltop alone under the stars, and I went, whew, I am overwhelmed, and there's something bigger than me. And then, of course, I descended back into obsessions, and I spent most of my life, and that's the ominous warning for me, is the obsessions. If I'm sitting with an Excel spreadsheet trying to plan out something to the last detail, planning way ahead, and I can't stop thinking of it, and work gets in the way, and my family gets in the way, I have a fever, I have an obsession, and my life doesn't go well when I live in that state. But luckily, I have a horrific addiction to food and volume and variety and self, and that overwhelmed me eventually, finally, tediously, beat it out of me. And I turned to my sponsor, and he said, "Do you believe in God?" I said, "Absolutely not. I'm an atheist." And he said, "Do you believe that I believe?" I said, "Yes, I can see that." He had told me his story, worse than mine. He said, "Well, you can borrow my God." And that's where it started. You know, I can't say I understand God today. I just know that, well, today I'm starting a new job, new place, unfamiliar, but I'm not alone. I've worked the steps, and I've gotten some kind of connection to a power that can lead me through the unknown without trying to burn up my brain and then, you know, reach for the food or other substances. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom L. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on this paragraph, we can take another person. Or on the second
Roberta
paragraph,
B.
We landed in England. Is that Roberta?
Roberta? Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, please, Roberta. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. It's wonderful to be on this meeting. I usually don't get time to, got to get ready for work. Ominous, I just couldn't help but share with hearing about the ominous warning. And thinking back on how many warnings I've had through other people as well as through myself. I have a niece at 26 years old that had two aneurysms on her lungs and congestive heart failure, and that wasn't enough warning for her. At 29 years old, she had a massive stroke, and she was 285 pounds, and that was her warning. And with God's grace, she has recovered, and she has she's lost like 150 pounds and has kept it off for 5 years. And she's my sweet girl that I'm just so proud of. And I just love her so much. And I have a sister that died in July with congestive heart failure. And she had both diseases of alcohol and overweight, and the ominous warning wasn't enough for her. I would try and share with her and she didn't make it. And then I have a son that just passed away also that was 35 years old. And there's a lot of complications with that. But with the complications, he had an eating and alcohol problem as well. And myself, a couple years ago, I wasn't feeling well. And I went to the doctors and they wanted to put me on 7 medications. And I knew that what I need to do is just take care of myself. And I'm grateful that I decided to come back to the rooms. I had been in the rooms and had left for 5 years, and I still struggled. I couldn't get it. And a friend of mine shared, I was in for a couple of years, and a friend of mine shared about a vision for you. And I thought, I'm going to check it out. And I knew that was my answer. And I've been in program, and I've just finished this, going through the steps. And I have a spiritual awakening that is so unreal. I just encourage anyone that's going through the steps right now to continue with it. Sometimes it felt like so much work, but I just continued doing it because I knew I needed this more than anything. And I'm just so grateful. Today I just feel like I'm living the dream. I have a relationship with God that I never thought possible. And I'm grateful for the ominous warning that I took it. I have a couple people that didn't take it. And it's very real to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roberta B. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Wednesday. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Tricia D., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be glad to. This is Tricia D., compulsive overeater from Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And thank you for letting me, allow me to do service, and I pass.